Fiddle Black presents Above All Men, written by Eric Schunkweiler, narrated by Dane Elkar. In the dream, he was a field riding fence posts. There was a dry wind that took the sweat from him and set the grass at his feet to sawing. The wind grew stronger, and the ears of corn knocked together, and when he looked past the house, there was a rim to the bottom of the sky. It grew tall and black and moved like the earth scrolling closed. He dropped the sledgehammer and broke for the back door. Each room he flew through was empty and echoed the name of his son. When he came out the front of the house, David found him watching the storm grind up the field across the road, and the corn and the black turned into teeth. He reached for Samuel's hand as the storm took the other and woke.
Honey?
Helene touched his arm. He scrambled and fell to the floor beside the bed and lay there grasping for something to wield.
David, are you okay?
Eyes wide in the dark, he gripped the bedpost and stood.
God! You were screaming.
I'm all right. She reached across the bed for him. No, I'm up.
Tell me what's wrong.
It was a dream. I'm all right.
Then come back to bed.
I need to work off this head of steam first. He stayed still a moment, then found his pants and shirt on the cedar chest and dressed before leaving the room, shutting the door behind him. Samuel was on the stairs and Red was beside him, leaning up against the wall. Samuel had turned on the hallway light.
What are you guys doing?
I heard you scream.
It was just a nightmare.
Go on back to bed. Samuel didn't move. Red was already dressed, or had never changed out of the clothes he'd worn in from the road.
Am I gonna have to tuck you in?
Samuel turned to climb the stairs. Before he could go up a step, David swooped around the banister and started nudging him onto his bedroom. Samuel lay down in his bed and pulled the covers to his chest.
What was the nightmare about?
A bad storm.
Like a tornado?
No. It was different.
You want some water or anything?
No, thanks.
Leave the door open?
No.
David set his hand on Samuel's head.
Night.
Night.
He stepped through the door and shut it. He stood beside it for a while, then turned off the light and slipped to the window at the end of the hall. It was late April, and Samuel's 10th birthday had passed a few weeks before. There had been good rains for years after he was born, but the last of it had come 2 summers ago. The grass in the moonlight below was white-looking. Downstairs, Macha walked into the kitchen, nails clinking on the hard wood. David went down and followed the old lab, and the dog waited until he took a seat to perch on his toes, looking back at him. His chest was still tight, and there was a pressure behind his forehead. In a few hours, his wife and son would wake again, and he'd have to decide whether or not Samuel would come to the funeral. He was looking at nothing, thinking of Anna Danvers in that cold upstairs bedroom, of Phil finding her. Red appeared in the kitchen doorway, and David wondered if he'd heard him walking at all.
I ain't tucking you in.
Red smirked, and David motioned for him to sit across the table.
Did you lie to him?
About the dream?
Yep.
He pulled out a chair and sat. No. His head tilted up. His face was dark, but the lines of his mouth were still curved.
It wasn't a war dream, if that's what you're asking.
So you're having other kinds of dreams that scare the hell out of you?
Apparently. David glanced out the window at the black, and then at the counter across the room, and a half pot of old coffee.
You going back to sleep?
I'm not sure I was asleep to begin with, tell the truth.
Why is that?
The smile faded.
I wish I hadn't come back here.
Or I guess I just wish it wasn't now.
Yeah. Red set his arm on the table.
It's weird being here, Dave. After a few years out there, I got to wondering why I never come back before. I thought maybe I'd just made it up, that I couldn't come home. Now I know that ain't true.
He tried to laugh and only managed a sharp exhale.
There's days I still wake up thinking I'm in the hooch.
David lifted a hand, brushing it over his head.
And somebody's gone and blown the roof off or something.
They were quiet. Red stood.
You want to go out and stand on the porch for a minute?
I could use the air.
David rose and Macha with him, and they followed Red to the front door. He stood aside for David to open it, and they went out. Macha circled Red, wagging her tail against his leg. It was cool, but not as cold as it should have been. Ahead, where the storm had risen in the dream, the horizon was black, and the woods were a gray band. They both leaned on the porch railing and watched the yard.
You decide whether you're coming to the service or not.
Yeah, Red nodded. I'm not. I figure I wasn't near as close as you. Macha hobbled down the porch steps to the fence line, sniffing. They watched her going up and down the yard, and then she lifted her head and returned to their feet. I gotta say I envy you. House, wife and kid, the whole bit.
What's stopping you?
Red said nothing for a moment. I think I've come to terms with never getting around to it.
Are you happy? Doing what you're doing?
He sucked in a long, slow breath.
I'd say I'm content.
Are you?
Sometimes. I don't know.
He shrugged.
That's everybody, right?
Nobody's always happy. Red nodded. He started shaking in the lining of muscles over his ribs.
If I thought you'd stay in it, I'd build you a house next door.
He paused.
I remember you saying you might want it someday.
Maybe after a few more years. David patted the railing with the heel of his hand, frowning.
I'm gonna take the dog down the road a stretch.
You be here when I get back?
I'll be here.
David stepped off the porch. While we're being confessional, I guess I ought to say I envy you too.
I am the handsomer one.
He smiled. He snapped his finger for Macha and walked to the road. She ran off into the ditch and something came flying up out of the weeds, disappearing into the broken gray of the field. She clambered out of the ditch after it, stopped and trotted to him. They walked on a while, and when they came back, the moon had settled behind the house. He took his boots off on the porch and slipped inside, into the bedroom. A crack of light showed from under the bathroom door. He stripped and laid his clothes on the cedar chest and got into bed as Helene came out of the bathroom. Her face was there in the light for a moment, before she shut it off, deliberate, soft. She slipped under the covers and pressed against him, and her nightgown was warm, and her thighs and arms cool.
I thought you might have gone to check on Phil.
Considered it.
She pressed her cheek to his shoulder.
Are you all right?
Yeah.
She shifted her arm and rolled onto her back. They were still touching at the shoulders.
Have you thought about letting Sam come?
Yeah. Let me sleep on it some more.
The dream had caught up with him now that he was still, and he saw it in flashes of teeth. He thought of everything he had, of Samuel and Helene, the farm. He was breathing hard, and he turned to Helene to see if she'd noticed, and found her looking at him. She took his hand, but her grip turned hard at the sight of his eyes, and he guttered like a flame.